We're in this Q&A, informal Q&A type of a format here this week. Obviously, we had a holiday on Monday, and then I had to get ready to go back to school. I went back to school on Thursday. That took up a lot of time, so I didn't have the kind of time that I would normally want to have to prepare a lesson. So, you know, in any given week, I've got to prepare, obviously, for this hour and the main hour, the main service hour, so I just didn't have time to do that. So week before, we were just kind of taking Q&A, some informal things. I got two things that I was asked about. Mike asked me about something, and Amy asked me about something, and since I already addressed one question from the Erst Palmer wing of the assembly, we're going to address a question this time from the Stewart end of the assembly. And the question was, well, about deception. Do you want to just kind of briefly elaborate on what you were thinking about that question?
Well, I'm just wondering the origin of deception.
Like
what the Bible says about where it came from. And
okay.
We know that Satan is a deceiver, but was he deceived? Was he self-deceived, I guess?
Okay. So the question for those of you, for the benefit of those on live stream or what have you, the question was related to deception. What is the origin of deception? If we think of Satan as a deceiver, what does that mean? Some of those kinds of concepts. So I'm going to be honest with you, like I did not have time to pore over this and spend hours looking into this, so that we're going to kind of do with this similar to what we've done with some other things here of late, just kind of start from scratch and go from there, right? So if we don't get to your answer, we can certainly still work on that in the future, okay? Now, so I'll throw the question to you guys. If you wanted to know what the Bible said about deception, where would you start? The beginning? Like, what do you mean the beginning?
Eve, she deceived, didn't she, without Satan? I mean, he deceived her, tricked her.
Okay. So you'd start at the beginning with the story of Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
All right? Any other ideas about where you would start if you wanted to know what the Bible said about deception?
I know there's a part in there about how Satan became Satan.
Okay.
Isn't there? That would probably be the first.
All right, so looking at how Satan became Satan, looking at the story of Adam and Eve, a couple suggestions, Mike?
Well, if your Bible has a concordance, you could look under the word deceit and see what verses are involved and
okay.
Go at it that way.
Where did you have a...
Or Blue Letter Bible.
So my thing is, if somebody... Somebody came to me with a question about deception, all right? So the first thing I did is I went to Blue Letter Bible, and I typed in the word deception. All right, and I ran a search, and I got nothing. So the word deception is not in the Bible. The Bible never uses it. The King James Bible never uses the word what? Now, does that mean that the concept of deception is not in the Bible?
No.
No, it just means that that specific word is not what?
In the Bible.
Is not in the Bible. Okay. So then, what I would do next? So I did do this, okay? I did do this much. So what I did is I typed in derivatives of deceive. So I typed in D-E-C-E-V-E-I-V asterisk. So this is going to find anything that has any form of what?
Deceive.
Deceive, okay? So if we run that search, we get a lot of information. We get 79... Okay, we get 79 times in 73 verses, there's a form of this word. Okay, 79 times in 73 verses, there's a form of this word. So let's look at what are some of these forms. Okay, so Genesis 27:1, you have the word what?
Deceiver.
Deceiver. Okay. Deceived, past tense. Can't spell. Sorry. So deceiver or deceiver deceived. Deceive, just the word deceive right here. So even though the word deception is not in the Bible, are there other related words that are certainly in the Scripture related to this word? Okay. So let's see if we can find anything else. Deceiver, deceived, deceiveth. So you got the extended verb ending, deceiveth. Let's see if we got deceived. It's probably it, but let's just make sure.
Deceit is not on your list.
We haven't got there yet. So this is what I would do if I wanted to know. I would start by looking up the word. And so far, deceivableness is an interesting one. Make sure I spell that right. So just running this, deceiving, with the ing, we've got there in 2 Timothy 3:13. Okay? Deceived, deceiving, deceiveth, deceivings, plural, 2 Peter 2. So I'm just going to add that one like this. So we've got deceiving and we have deceivings. Notice that we have deceivers, those who are participating in it. Okay? And so those are all of the different forms of deceive that are in the Bible, right? So if we're going to study this, do we have a lot of content now that we've got to go through to unpack what this means, right? So you've got deceiver, deceive, deceive, deceiveth, deceivableness, deceiving, and deceivings, plural, deceivers. I guess I could have put that up here like this too. Okay? So do we have a lot of different words? Now, what other words related to this? Mike, you kind of already hit on it, but what other words related to this might we want to look at? Deceit.
No,
soul.
Did I spell it wrong?
Oh, no. Okay.
So we've got deceit 34 times in 34 verses. So I think should we do an asterisk on that one? Because that's just finding deceit. Probably not gonna. Aha. Deceitfully. Deceitful. So deceitful is right here in Psalm 5, verse 6. We've got deceitfully, right? Deceitfulness. Deceits. Okay. Well, nope. So we got more here. So I have to strongly encourage everybody. Deceitfulness. Do we have that? Nope. So do we have all kinds of words in the Bible related to this topic?
Yep.
Like tons of them. Okay. So we've got, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 forms of the word. If you count the places that have the S's on them, that comes out to 13 different words or things related to the issue of deception or deceit, right? But the word deception itself, is it ever used?
No.
So if I were going to start studying this topic, the first thing that I would want to do is I would want to gather up all of the places where the Bible discusses what? Deception, deceit, deceitfulness, etc., etc. Okay, and I'd want to understand what is the range of words here that the Bible is using to describe this particular topic. All right. So once I've done that, what is another thing that you think might be a good thing to do? Okay, we're probably eventually going to need to look at synonyms. Anything else? The next thing I would want to do is I would want to define the word in English. That's the next thing that I would want to do is I would want to define the word in English, right? So, if we look at these different forms, what is the root word, do you think, of all these different forms?
Deceive.
Deceive here. And I think this one here, deceit, right? Because if deceitfully is somebody who's practicing what?
Deceit.
Deceitful is somebody who's being what? Deceitful or being deceived, right? Deceitfulness is somebody who's practicing this. So I want to know at a minimum what those two mean. Because all the rest of these, are they forms of deceive and deceit?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do that next. Okay, so what I would do is I would go first to Webster's Dictionary, and the reason I would go there first is 1828. It's free online, and you can search this, and then often get a lot of information about what words mean for free, and then also have biblical references, right? So you can see that I already put in the word deceive here, and let's just look at what it says. All right, so this is the root word here. Deceivers, deceiver, deceivers, plural, deceive, deceiveth, deceivableness, deceivings, are they all forms of this word?
Yeah.
Okay? So I want to look at what this means then. Okay? So notice, if I just go to the dictionary, I can get some basic information to start with, right? So, to deceive, to mislead the mind, to cause to err, to cause to believe what is false, or disbelieve what is true, to impose on, to delude. So notice it can be to cause to believe what is false. So to cause somebody to believe something that's not what?
True.
Or disbelieve what is true. So could deceit go both ways, according to what this is saying? Okay? And the other thing I love about this is it always, or most often, it will give us some verses here. Okay? So let's go to Matthew 24, verse 4. Matthew 24, verse 4. So the context here is the Olivet Discourse. The apostles have come to Christ and they've asked him some specific questions. Okay, about the end. Look at Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him and show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us." Now there's two things they want to know here. Notice. Tell us, when shall these things be? That's the first question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Actually, there's three things. And of the end of what? They want to know, when is this going to happen? What's the sign of your coming? And what's the end of the world? All right? Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man what?" So Jesus does not want them to be misled in mind, to be caused to err, to cause to believe what's false or to disbelieve what's true. He does not want them to be deluded in their understanding. He does not want them to be what? Deceived. Okay, he does not want them, so notice, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, and shall do what? Deceive many. So are many people, in, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, going to be deceived into thinking that there are all these different false Christs are the real Christ? Okay? So he doesn't want them to be deceived. So there's a base definition here now that we can kind of start to gather related to what it, to what this means. So if somebody is participating in deception, are they attempting to deceive? Okay, we'll look at that in a minute. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, unfortunately, modern dictionaries typically don't give scriptural references to define words. Okay, that ought to be a little clue to you about the place of the Bible in modern society. It's obviously not what it was in the 1800s. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. Am I in the right spot? It is the wrong reference. Well, let's see if we can. Dictionary. What probably happened is whoever typed this in here probably messed it up. Let's see if we can fix this though. So we won't deceive ourselves. First John 1:8. First John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive who?
Ourselves,
and the truth is not in us. Okay? So are we capable of misleading ourselves? Are we capable of causing ourselves to believe what's false or to disbelieve what's true? Okay? So we've got two definitions here. Second definition, to beguile, to cheat. Then you have an example. Your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. Number three, to cut off from expectation, to frustrate or disappoint as his hopes were deceived. And number four, to take from, to rob. So we've got a few base definitions that we could look at here. Now let's work off this first one, all right? To mislead the mind. So let's now look at deception, since that's the concept we're looking into. Notice what it says. The act of deceiving or what?
Misleading.
All deception is a misapplication of the established science to use communication thoughts. The state of being deceived or misled in cautious and inexperienced youth is particularly exposed to deception. Artifice, practice, cheat as a scheme is a la deception. So we got a few different things. So the base definition is the act of deceiving or what? Now, does that make sense given what it means to deceive according to definition number one? To mislead the mind, to cause it, to cause to err, to believe what is false or to disbelieve what is true, to impose on, to delude. That makes sense, right? So when the Bible is using all of these words, is it certainly teaching the issue of deception as a concept, even though it doesn't specifically use that exact word? Okay, now let's go to the other base word here and look up deceit. So, here's what we have. Deceit. Literally, a catching or ensnaring, hence the misleading of a person, the leading of other persons to believe what is false or to not believe what is true. So that makes sense given what we've already seen with the word what? Deceive, right? And thus to ensnare him, fraud, fallacy, cheat, any declaration, artifice, or practice which misleads another or causes him to believe what is false. That is the definition of deceit. Okay? Let's look at a few of the definitions, or the, let's go to Job 27:4. Job 27:4. So when Noah Webster does this, what he's doing is he's showing you that the English word being used in that way from the Bible. Alright? Job 27, verse 4. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter what? Deceit. So if your tongue is uttering deceit, what is your tongue doing? It is engaging in deceivableness, right? It is engaging in deception. It is engaging in trying to ensnare somebody, mislead somebody, mislead another, or cause them to believe what is false. So to either steer somebody away from the truth, or to cause them to believe something that is false, somebody that is engaging in deceit, that's what they are doing. The second definition is a stratagem. How do you pronounce this word? Stratagem, sorry. Artifice, device intended to mislead. Go to Psalm 38, verse 12. So part of why I'm doing this way is because I want you guys to see what you can do on your own using free resources. Okay? How you can look at things and see and learn a lot of information using free resources, and you don't have to be a Bible scholar to do any of this. All you have to do is use Blue Letter Bible and the dictionary, and you can get a lot of information, right? Now, we're just getting started in this, obviously, but that's part of why I'm taking this approach. Psalm 38, verse 12. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. Now this is going to help us. They lay snares for me. And they seek my hurt. Speak mischievous things. And imagine what? Deceits all the day long. Now notice the concepts now that the scriptures are tying to deceits. Deceits are related to snares. Okay? They're related to they who would seek my hurt. They're related to the speaking of mischievous things. Okay? So if somebody is going to deceive you, are they going to be engaged in laying a snare, speaking mischievous things, things that aren't true, as an attempt to try to engage in deceit with you? So you see how you can now take some of this stuff and start building an understanding of what deception means and what it means to deceive based upon the verses. Now notice this. Verse number 3. In Scripture, that which is obtained by guile, fraud, or deception. Oppression, excuse me. Can't read. Go to Jeremiah 5:27. This is kind of a Jeremiah 5, and I actually want to start at verse 25. Okay? We need a little context here. Jeremiah 5, verse 25. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people, now watch, are found wicked men. So are there wicked men interspersed within Israel? You look confused. I'm in Jeremiah 5, verse 26.
Oh, okay.
We went up a little few verses for context. We'll start over at verse 26. For among my people are found wicked men. Okay? What do these men do? For they lay in wait. Now does that match what we saw in the previous verse about the issue of people that are deceiving. Okay? And he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. So are people engaging here in premeditated laying of traps and snares to catch men in false thinking? Okay, look at the next verse. As a cage is full of birds, so their houses full of what? Deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen what? Rich. So what does that tell us about the connection between deception, deceit, and the accumulation of wealth, power, and affluence? Is there a connection?
Yes.
Okay. Number four, in law, any trick, device, craft, collusion, shift, used to defraud another would be another definition of deceit. Okay? Now, just from some of these verses that we've read here, I already have verses coming to mind now from Paul's epistles about this. Okay, but let's stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments about what we've seen or how we've got to this spot so far?
I think beguile is another word that could be included in this under deceive and deceit.
So now we would be talking about synonyms.
Yeah.
Right?
But I think that would just be as a side. That would be another word that would be related that is used.
Eon beguile?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other words you think might be used related to this? Didn't we see the word beguile in one of these definitions?
Guile.
Yes.
We saw the word guile. Beguile is a form of guile.
So there's guile. So in this definition of deceit, in Scripture, number three, that which is obtained by what?
Guile.
Alright? Any other synonyms?
Fool.
So, fool, let's see if the word...
Fool.
The word fool is not in the Bible. Tricked. Tricked. T-R-I-C-K-E-D, right? Tricked. Is that right? Tricked is not in the Bible.
A lot of treachery.
That is. Treachery. T-R-A-C-H-E-R-Y.
T-R-E-A-C-H.
It must have. All right, one more time. What is it? T.
T-R-E-A-C-H.
Treacherous. Okay, so now we have a bunch of forms, right? We have treacherously. So I'm going to put this over here in our list. So the base word here would be what? Treacherous?
Mm-hmm.
Or treachery?
Treachery.
So we got treacherously, treacherous. Okay, so what are we going to go with the base on this one? Treacherous or treachery, I think?
Treachery.
Right? Okay, any other synonyms that we might want to look for?
Yeah, he says trap, trick, traffic, trick for traffic, trick, trapped.
Tricked?
No, tricked or trapped. Those solutions. Not sure.
Trap, snares, trap, so those are, okay. I'm going to write snares. Snare or snares, this traps.
This ain't part of the study, but why did you call it a snare drum? I wonder why they call it a snare drum.
So if somebody is setting a trap or and snares, are they engaging in deceit? Right? I mean, I've watched enough shows on History Channel that when trappers are trying to trap an animal, they lay the trap out and they put the urine and the stink and all the stuff in there to fool the animal and lure him into what? Being trapped, right? Because naturally is the animal going to do that? The animal, if the animal knows that a human set the trap and they figure that out, are they going in?
No.
This past summer I had problems with raccoons in my barn eating my cat food. So I had to live trap I set live traps and I trapped the raccoons and then I shot them. So yeah, I shot the raccoons. So the people that are watching this online are going to be like, oh, he's a terrible human. But if I didn't shoot them, they keep coming back. Okay, so I probably shot like 8 raccoons. Anyway, but I had to trap them. Are they just going to be like, oh, here I am? Yeah. No, you had to use some treachery, right? You had to use some deceit. You had to use some of those concepts to try to lure it in, right? So we got beguile, we got treachery, we got snares, we got traps. Anything else here?
Fraud.
Okay, let's see what the Bible says about that. So there's 13 forms here. I'm going to move this 13. Okay, so as you start to go through something like this, you really start to develop, does the Bible have a lot to say about this concept? Mm-hmm. Okay, what was the one you wanted me to look up?
Fraud.
Well, the one with the trap. Well, the trap.
Fraud is in the Bible. We just saw the definition, the legal definition of deceit was to engage in what? Fraud. Okay, anything else?
Wiley, isn't the devil described as wily somewhere in the Bible?
Is it E-Y?
W-I-L-Y. I don't think it's E-Y.
Wiles is in there. Okay, Ephesians 6. What was the one you had, Mike?
Wiley.
Wiley Coyote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to get the
order. Wiley is not.
No.
Did I spell it wrong? W-I-L. Wiley.
Just try Wiley.
That'll find anything with Will in it. How do you spell Wiley?
U-I.
That's what I thought. Nope. Wile is not. Okay?
Wiles is.
Yeah, we got that. Wiles is in there twice. Okay, any other synonyms we can think of?
Mislead or misguide.
Okay.
Or misled.
Misled is not. What was the other one you said?
Misguide.
Misguide is not.
Subtle.
But I bet led astray is. I spelled it wrong, probably. Led astray. L. Am I spelling astray wrong?
No.
Going astray, gone astray, I went astray, shall go astray. So there's. See, now you know these, see? Stumbling block is in there, if I spell it right. What?
Well, it's one word.
Oh. Stumbling block's in here 12 times. So if you're putting a stumbling block in somebody's way, are you trying to get them to trip up?
Stone in their shoe.
Okay? forgot. So we. I think we've gotten up to going. Okay. Yeah.
The opposite of the truth is a lie. So the lie has to be in there somewhere. I mean, it was in the definitions, wasn't it?
So let's go to beguile. Or let's start with just looking at guile. Craft. Doesn't Paul talk about cunning craftiness?
Mm-hmm.
Whereby they lie in wait to what?
Deceive,
okay? Guile, craft, cunning, artifice, duplicity, deceit, usually in a bad sense. What was the word we were looking for here, Amy?
Lie.
It doesn't use the word lie, but like obviously this could involve telling lies, right? Okay, let's look at beguile. To delude, to deceive, to impose on by artifice or craft. The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. So did the serpent beguile Eve? Okay. To elude by craft, to elude anything disagreeable by amusement or other means, to pass pleasingly, to amuse, to beguile. So we got a lot of different definitions here, okay? So let's go to Genesis 3. So this brings us back now to what you suggested in the beginning, and that's, let's just look at the beginning of the Bible. Did you say that?
Well, can you talk to me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, under the ones on the cinnamons, misleading.
Let's see. Did we look at mislead?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Mislead
would be, how would they spell that in King James English? M-I-S?
L-E-A-D.
L-E-A-D, right?
Yeah,
that's
but
what I...
But misled is without the A.
No misled. All right, Genesis 3. Genesis 3. So... you have the story here that everyone is familiar with as far as, so let's start at verse 1, Genesis 3, 1. Now the serpent was more what?
Subtle.
Do we have subtle up here? What does subtle mean?
Sly.
No.
Subtle.
Barely there.
The word is often written subtle. Thin, not dense. So, look at, so nice, fine. Look at number 4. Sly.
6.
Artful, cunning, crafty. Okay. As a subtle person, a subtle adversary. Look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Deceitful, what? So, is the serpent sly?
Mm-hmm.
Is he artful? Is he cunning? Is he crafty?
Mm-hmm.
Is he deceitful and is he treacherous?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, already within just that, do we have the concepts here that we've been looking at? So, in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. So, this tells you right now that the serpent, who is ultimately Satan here, all right, is he a trickster? Does he accurately and truthfully represent things as they are? Or does he try to engage in a lot of these concepts? Treachery, snares, traps, fraud, wiles. Will he do anything at his disposal to engage in these types of things? Okay? So verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Now, right away we see, is that what God said?
Yeah.
That God said that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden.
No.
It's not what God said. Did he tell them they could eat of all the trees of the garden except one?
Yeah.
So go back to chapter 2. Verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, of every tree of the garden. So Genesis 2, verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest what?
Freely eat.
So you can eat anything you wanted.
Yep.
Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely what? So, they can eat anything they want except from what?
Tree of the knowledge.
One tree. Besides this one tree, can they do whatever they want? Okay, now go back to chapter 3, verse 1, and watch the subtlety here, right? Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, so he's questioning what God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is that what God said? That's not what God said. So right away do we see deception here. We see subtlety, we see all the concepts that we've been looking at so far throughout the hour, right? And the woman said unto the serpent, verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Did he say anything about not touching it? Did God tell them not to touch it? He never told them not to touch it. He told them not to what?
Eat it.
So do you see how the serpent here, through his subtlety, he comes in and he gets his attack here is to get Eve to question what God said. And in questioning what God said, does he get her confused? To the point where she now is talking to him and is adding things now to what God said that God never said. Did God ever tell him not to touch it? No, let's go back to the previous page, verse 7. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He said nothing, God told nothing about not what. Now, it might be implied that if you're not going to eat it, you shouldn't what? Touch it, but did he explicitly tell him not to touch it? He never did. He just told him not to what? Eat it. Okay, go back to chapter 3. Now watch verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So now does he flat out deny what God told him?
Yes.
So notice how there's a subtlety here where he's engaging in a deception and it's all centered around what God said.
Plus Satan quotes God, right? Surely die.
Right.
He said, lest he die.
In chapter 2, right?
In 3, verse 3, Eve says, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And then the serpent says to the woman, ye shall not surely die.
And chapter 2, verse 17 ends with surely die.
Surely die.
Right. So, does he know what God said?
Yeah.
Does the serpent know what God actually said? So if you back up now to the beginning, does he know from so is he intentionally engaging in an act of subtlety and deception here to trip Eve up? And it's all centered around, does Eve really know or not what God actually said? Alright? For God doth know that the day thou eatest, verse 5, for God doth know the day that thou eatest thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay? So at this point, do Adam and Eve understand the issue of evil? Or are they innocent at this point? They seem to be in a state of what? Innocence. Okay? Now Satan's subtlety here is to make Eve think that God is somehow what? Holding out on her.
I have a question.
Yeah.
It's in verse 16 that God says they can't eat. And then in 18 it says that God decided to create Eve.
You're talking about chapter 2.
Yes.
The statements in chapter 2, you're raising a very important point. The statements in chapter 2 are explicitly said to who?
The man.
Adam.
Yes.
So does Adam have ultimate responsibility here before God for the situation? Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Go back to chapter 3. Good point. So God, so Satan's using the word of God to try to fool Eve, trick Eve into thinking that God is somehow holding out on her, and that God is somehow fundamentally not good and doesn't want her to know certain things that only he knows, right? Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so that it looked good and appealing, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave to her husband with her, and he did what?
Eat.
So what does Adam do? He eats it. Okay? He disobeys God. And the eyes of them both were opened. Now here's the thing. Was Satan telling the truth?
Partially.
No. He partially is telling the truth, because when they ate it, did they realize things they didn't know before they ate it? Right. So let me be more specific. Satan is lying, but in his lie, is he accurately quoting what God said? God said they'll not surely die.
They didn't die right away. It's
they don't die. They die spiritually.
Yeah.
But they don't die physically.
Right.
Right?
Not
so there's. Right, not immediately. So there's more going on here than what Eve is aware of, obviously, right? But to Amy's point, he flat out denies what God said in verse 4. But to Eli's point, does he accurately quote what God said by saying, surely die, when the woman said, lest she die? But then you come down, but then he tells her in verse 5 that your eyes shall be opened and you shall know good and evil. And then they eat it in verse 6. And then in verse 7, the eyes of both of them were what? So do they? So he's lying. He is lying, but is he also in his lie telling? It's a very deep conceptualized lie, because there's elements of it that are what?
True.
Okay, you've heard the old saying that a half truth is still what?
A lie.
Okay. So verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. So they had no concept of the fact that they were naked until after they do what? Eat this. Okay? And the serpent suggests in verse 5 that God is holding out, and that if they eat it, their eyes will be opened and they'll know good and evil. They eat it, and are their eyes open to something that they didn't realize before they ate it? So it's like, It's this exceedingly cunningly devised lie that is based on a questioning of the Word of God, half-truths, conjecture, with an element of truth mixed in at the same time. That's why it says in verse 1, he was more what?
Subtle.
More subtle than any beast of the field, right? Now, verse 8, verse 7, and the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So their first, Pastor George says it this way, the first awareness of human sin results in an act of religious covering. They know they're naked for the first time, and do they go of their own effort and seek to cover their nakedness? Okay? Now, why is that important? Let's keep going. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, I don't believe for a second he didn't know where they were. Okay? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself. So, is Adam now aware of his sinfulness compared to God Almighty in a way that he was not before they ate this? Okay? So, are his eyes opened? They are. Okay? And he said, who told thee, verse 11, and he said, who told thee thou wast naked? No one did. The fact is, they realized it what?
Themselves.
Now notice the next thing God says. He said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Now watch how the blame shifting starts immediately. And the man said, "The woman which thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I what?" So, who's he blaming?
Her.
Okay? God too, in a way. Well, if you didn't give me this woman, I wouldn't have done this. Now here we have verse 13. "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent, what?
Beguiled
me, and I did eat." A.K.A. the serpent what? Deceived me. He fooled me. He tricked me. Right? Are we still on beguile here? No, we were on subtle. Let's go back to beguile. So through his subtlety, did he beguile her? Come on. So what did beguile mean again? To delude, to deceive, to impose by artifice or craft. The serpent beguiled me and I did what? Eat. So, the serpent, deceiver. Okay? Now, I'm going to make a suggestion to you. I can't prove this from the text. So, this is in the realm of the opinion of Ross. You don't have to agree with it. Did Adam have to follow his wife in eating?
No.
Could Adam, as Eve's head, have refused to eat and pleaded for the Lord's forgiveness for Eve? I think the answer to that is what?
Yes.
And I believe that God would have forgiven her because she was deceived. He wasn't. Did he know what the instructions were in chapter 2? Was it his responsibility to teach her what God said in chapter 2? So either he failed to teach her or he failed to stand up for the word of God and went instead with the opinion of his spouse. So, in my opinion, I think what Adam does here is far worse than what Eve did. Because Eve is actually directly what? Deceived. You guys following that? Okay, now let's look at a couple other things here because we're running out of time.
Okay, no, she would be the only... If that would have happened, I'm just saying that that would have happened, she would have been the only one that would have died. He would have...
I think that if what I said is true, I think God probably would have forgiven her of that and they would have moved on.
Okay.
Now go to 2 Corinthians 11. You mean in the punishment of crawling on his belly all the days of his life and this and that? Yeah, I mean, the serpent is a type of Satan, right? I don't really... I hear what you're saying. Satan clearly talks to Eve through the serpent, so there's something supernatural going on there, okay? And
I wonder if he was totally different, because... Most women are repulsed by snakes today because of the way they crawl. So I wonder if he was upright or, you know, somehow, you know, the cursing changed his posture or his means of travel.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I don't ultimately know. But you are right, there is a direct curse later in that chapter put on the serpent. But then there's also statements made about that are clearly indicative of going beyond the physical serpent to the entity that is involved in this temptation, which would be Satan, right? When he talks about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and thou shalt crush his head, and thou shalt, all that stuff is obviously more than just a conversation between God Almighty and a snake.
Yeah.
Okay? But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just a couple things here before we go. Notice verse 3. But I fear lest by any means. What does that mean?
Any way
possible, right? But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his what? Subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is where? In Christ. Okay? For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the chiefest of the apostles. But notice the language there in verse 3. First of all, I fear by any means. Would Satan have engaged in any means necessary to deceive Eve? That's what it suggests, right? As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So there's a clear, the word deception is not used in that verse, but are a ton of concepts related to deception there in that verse. And then one more thing we'll end with here. Come over to Ephesians. So obviously we've not looked at every single occurrence. But come over to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Paul says, therefore, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now watch. By the sleight of who? Men. And cunning craftiness, whereby they do what? So if something is lying in wait to deceive, does that bring all of us up about traps and snares? Does Paul talk about people being in the snare of the devil? Does he talk about people being taken captive by him at his will, etc.? There's all this terminology that is used all through the scriptures about this, right? And so we see that here, that there's a sleight of men, and they're crafty, and cunning craftiness, deception, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Go to Ephesians 6. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. So the devil, Satan, the serpent, is a subtle being, and is he willing to use any means necessary to deceive, to beguile, to get people entrapped and ensnared and captive and all this terminology, and is he willing to do whatever is necessary to accomplish it? So I think, at least as a base understanding here, we can kind of get at least some loose understanding of what deception is. Okay? Anybody got any questions or comments?
I got one that's not part of this. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Now, to hear that, you have to have human footsteps, right?
I mean,
how would they know to hear the footsteps?
They heard the voice.
They heard the.
He was talking while he was walking.
I'm sure God's walking through the garden, calling Adam. And Adam's hiding, and God's like, where are you? Does God know where he is?
Okay.
I think it's more of a...
The voice.
I think it's more of a poetic way of saying it.
Okay.
I don't think God's like trudging through the garden like Elmer Fudd and a pair of galoshes. Somebody, Ken, did you have a comment?
Well, why may not be the Bible. I was thinking of Proverbs 6, where the six things that the Lord hates and seven are an abomination of foul blood, the lying tongue.
Right.
Hands that shed innocent blood.
Yeah, and
false witness.
And one of the and does the scripture not call Satan the father of lies? So like all of that is feeding in then to an understanding of deceive, deceit, deception, what all this means.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't
bring up lie, but you're right. That would be another word that to engage in deceit is almost always in some sort of lying. Was he lying in Genesis 3? And misrepresenting what God said and this and that, right? So, you know, we have to quit just because of time, but hopefully that was at least somewhat helpful. What I was trying to do there is show you kind of how maybe to go about some of this on your own. And then try to show some concrete examples at the end from the scriptures about the issue of deceit. Okay? But we got to quit. We're already past time. I got to pack this up and get ready for church. If you have any questions, let me know. But thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time. If you have any questions, let me know. But thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.